Let's have a chat to Jane Fisher. She's the Jean Hales Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash University. Hi there, Jane.
Hello, Raph.
Life and Other Catastrophes, we have this chat every week, and I guess we've been interested quite a few of these segments in talking about honesty within couples, but there are some things that are perhaps better left unsaid. I have a good friend who did a story on a new fat drug, actually, one of these drugs that stops your body absorbing fat, and he put a joke in his story, you know, do the mice turn to their partners and say, does my bum look fat in this fur? So, of course, there. So that's perhaps, I don't know if people think that's a significant area where you shouldn't be completely honest, but there might also be other areas. Your partner might have a hobby. Maybe they like woodwork and they want to show you what they've done. You're going, oh, actually, that looks like rubbish. But maybe you should just say, yes, dear, that looks fantastic, or yes, dear, that cake was
delicious.
Fantabulous, even when it wasn't. But I am interested, navigating a relationship is perhaps the toughest and most rewarding thing most of us do with our lives. 1300 222 774, the areas where you feel you just can't tell the truth with your partner, and for a good reason. 1300 222 774. Any guidelines on this one, Jane?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that probably the most important relationships of our lives, among them are the relationships with our parents, but then the next very important one is our lifelong relationships with intimate partners. And, of course, how we behave within those relationships has a big effect on their quality and their sustainability. And I think sometimes we don't tell for protective reasons. We're wanting to protect the other person's self-regard, and but it can be potentially problematic to withhold information that is actually important for a couple to make decisions about. We know there are some areas where people find it really particularly difficult to speak frankly. From a female perspective, lots of us find it really difficult to actually say how much we've spent on items.
Oh, yeah,
that's
okay.
Particularly
that might be a common one.
On clothing and other things like that. And in fact, women can sometimes go to great lengths to conceal that, to use cash rather than the credit card.
What do men conceal their spending on?
Well, perhaps somebody could ring up and
let
us know.
When they go out drinking or have a night out with their friends, something like that.
And perhaps at some level, if it's mutually acknowledged, it's not problematic. But concealment probably of things like gambling, but does become much more problematic.
That's a big issue, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, so I suppose that's the question. How do you know the difference between a polite mistruth and something actually fundamental that you shouldn't lie about, because that's going to send you down the slippery slope?
I think that's the really important thing. It would be interesting to hear how people negotiate this in their relationships.
Yes. I've got another text here about things you should or shouldn't be doing with your hands. My uncle butchers sheep carcasses in his flannelette PJs. Reckons they're cheap clothing, and he just chucks them away when he's finished. Make sure you don't get the drawstring or other bits caught in the saw. But that's from Trev. But look, 1300 222 774. When you can't actually be totally honest with your partner, Jane mentioned perhaps sometimes when the woman in a relationship goes out and perhaps spends money on clothes and might not conceal the cost, but perhaps doesn't declare it, or maybe just feels a little bit of guilt.
I think so.
That might be the issue.
I think that's usually what it is.
And perhaps it's the same with men. You tell me. Maybe I'm stereotyping your relationship. Maybe I've got it all wrong. 1300 222 774. I suppose when you're trying to make that distinction, Jane, What sort of mental alarm bells do you think people should listen for?
Well, I think it's problematic if you're concealing something you're really ashamed of, and you're ashamed of it because you know that it could place family well-being in jeopardy. If you're concealing it out of a protective motive, that might be a bit misplaced. Sometimes it can be a little bit paternalistic to make decisions on someone else's behalf.
It's patronising, isn't it?
It is, and I think this used to be a more traditional pattern. I wouldn't tell her because she'd worry, and so make decisions on someone's behalf. And we know that that's not good.
And that's how businesses go bust without the partner knowing.
Precisely. Yeah. But there are probably some things most of us don't tell at the beginning. We want to create a positive impression to somebody who we hope might choose us. But ultimately, over time together, I think optimally we can become pretty truthful with each other.
So I'm so not even going to go down that path. I mean, let's have a word to Scott in Traraden. Hi, Scott.
G'day, guys. How are you both?
We're good.
That's good. Look, I was just saying that my wife and I are very honest about pretty much everything, but if she asks if another woman's attractive, ooh, under no circumstances do I tell her the truth.
Oh, really?
Now, tell us why not, Scott. What would the risk be of doing that?
Look, I just say, she says, oh, is that woman good looking? And I go, oh, no, not really, not my type. I say, you're my type, Dale.
Why do you think she's asking, Scott?
Look, she doesn't ask, but if it ever comes up in conversation or anything like that, I just I normally steer off the conversation in a different direction pretty quickly.
And you're comfortable not being truthful?
Yeah, I don't care.
Have you had a bad experience in the past, Scott, where you did comment on another woman's attractiveness?
Yeah, I used to think Anne Hathaway was a bit of a spunk.
Oh, really?
And I told a girlfriend at the time, and from then on, never got to watch any Anne Hathaway movies. It probably wasn't a bad thing in the end, but anyway, I didn't get to watch any of them anymore, but yeah.
I think that's a common conversation. Look, thanks for calling, Scott. Appreciate it.
Right.
Don't watch any Anne Hathaway movies, at least not when you're not
in the early stages, maybe.
That's right. 1300 222 774. Life and Other Catastrophes is the segment. Professor Jane Fisher is with me from Monash University. The things you actually can't be honest with, the things you can't be honest about with your partner. 1300 222 774. Mark's called in from Ashwood. Hi there, Mark.
Howdy. It's a very simple mathematical equation that a friend told me about. If a woman goes out and buys a suit or something or other for $1,000 and it's on sale for $500, she'll come back and say, we share everything, don't we? Well, this was going to be $1,000. I got it for $500. Therefore, I saved $500. So you owe me $250.
Oh, that sounds it.
To hand over the $250 and say, you're fantastic.
So that's not so much not being honest. It's that's spin.
Well, spin, not being honest, not bothering to pursue the matter, just hand it over and walk away.
And you're okay with that?
Well, yeah.
Do you have you got an equivalent on your side of the things you sort of don't quite fess up to?
You massage the figures.
Like what sort of examples? Can you give me one?
Oh, like if you buy a car and you get all these other optional extras, you don't actually mention the options. You know, he'd just say what the price of the car was. She's not asking, well, what about all the optional extras?
And she doesn't ask?
Well, eventually it probably comes up at some point in time and you say, oh, well, look, it all came as a package. You know, it was very hard to sort of get one without the other and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, once again, you just massage and reinterpret.
And you're happy with that?
Well, I'm happy with it. Whether she'd be happy with it is another thing entirely.
Oh, I can hear her in the background, is it?
That's my son. He's three, and I shouldn't be on the phone.
Okay. We'll leave you be, Mark.
Thank
you for calling.
Thanks.
1300 222 774. Look, I suppose finances are one area, but maybe there are
more serious ones.
Well, I wonder, too, if there are things that actually affect you quite deeply. Mm-hmm. But they're not issues, as you say, that would actually damage the family unit. Do you think there are, I don't know, maybe I'll call that private spaces, you know, your private sort of psychological or spiritual part of you, that sometimes it's actually good not to share, that you need to retain some sense of self?
Yes, and I think there's probably a timing aspect to that. It's not that it's being actively withheld, but often some of those matters of really fundamental importance are ones that we want to shape in our own minds first. Mm. And I think this is certainly true about matters of values and ambitions and hopes and disappointments, that there are probably some differences in style about how we manage these. And stereotypically, women often prefer to deal with these matters in a conversational way.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we hear from men that they actually get really tired of the going over and over and over.
Yeah.
And stereotypically, I think often men manage those things internally and don't necessarily want to expose them and can feel a bit harassed if a partner goes on and on saying, tell me what you think and why did you do that? So it's not unsafe, I think, to have matters that are held within. Sometimes we have to ask, why are we withholding it? Because we don't think we'll get an empathic response. That's an important thing for a couple to know.
Yeah, well, and maybe that is also about knowing. Someone said to me once, and it's always stuck with me, when you need to share what you're going to say, right place, right time, right intention.
Yeah.
And some conversations actually need to wait. And sometimes they may need to wait a few months. Either it needs to filter through you, or you need to find the right space within your relationship that will allow that conversation to take place.
Exactly. I think that's a really important thing. And it's not that it's been intentionally withheld. It's just that it's had to take shape within you before it can be held. I think that's a very important matter.
1300 222 774. You might have something you've never told your partner, and for very, very good reasons. Let me know. 1300 222 774. Margaret's called from Bowen Heads. Hi there, Margaret.
Hi.
How are you going?
Tell us about your experience, Margaret.
I had an affair 20 years ago. I've never told my husband. I'm a mother of 5 children. And I honestly think that's why I drink too much, because it's eaten at my soul.
And I guess you're saying to us that you feel really a great deal of regret about that now.
Of course I do.
What prevents you telling him now, do you think?
Couldn't hurt him. I couldn't.
Yes. I think sometimes when this happens in a relationship, it often doesn't happen with the intention of hurting the other person, but it happens because there's loneliness, there's unmet needs that mean this comes about. And sometimes they're the even more important aspects of the relationship to talk about, that you had felt lonely or unloved or for some reason as though your needs were under-recognized at that time.
Been a long time.
Do you think, Margaret, it would help to talk to someone about it? Do you think that would help you?
I have.
What sort of person? Do you mind telling us who you spoke to?
Psychologists and psychiatrists.
And did that help?
No.
Did any of them give you a mechanism for how you might tell your husband?
No.
Did they suggest a way of dealing with it, Margaret?
No, not really.
Margaret, I'd really urge you to speak to someone who's got a way of maybe doing something in your own life to help you reconcile yourself with that. I can hear how upset you are. I guess when people are looking for help, sometimes it takes a while to find the right person to talk to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Look, I'd urge you to try and find someone to have a word to if you can. There you go, Margaret. You never know what you turn up when you ask people questions about these sorts of things. Look, and I don't think Margaret's alone. Let me read a few more texts out to you. It's coming up to 11 minutes to 4 on 774 ABC Melbourne. I had an affair when I was mentally ill several years ago, and I was strongly directed by my shrink not to tell my husband, and it weighs on me every day of my life. And another text. After 6 years together, I just told my husband how many sexual partners I'd had before him. I thought he'd be shocked, but he couldn't have cared less, as long as he's the last one. Look, I would say to both that texter who says they had an affair where they were mentally ill, and Margaret, one other thing to try, perhaps, is even making a little ritual for yourself, writing down what you're thinking or are feeling and doing something with that piece of writing, or even maybe making some sort of art object, you know, get some clay, get a painting. It can help just to externalise that feeling. And then you can also toss it off a cliff. That can be a really satisfying thing to do.
I think also it sounds like the affair itself is less of a problem. What's more been the problem has been the burden of guilt that's accompanied that. And not everybody is necessarily reflective or introspective, but sometimes I think it can be of value to think, well, why did this happen then and why to me? And the person who said they were acutely ill perhaps has some explanation for that. Maybe at some level Margaret does too.
Yeah.
But usually the reason is not one that warrants this self-blame. Usually this came about for reasons that were not necessarily reasons of intent to hurt.
Mm.
And I think in understanding that together, you can always give the heartfelt apology. And an apology is a crucial part of any reconciliation.
Yeah.
But it can be accompanied by some deeper understanding of perhaps at that time they were managing really difficult things together as a couple and didn't have enough time to care for each other. I think it's better usually, though, to address things directly, and that having these kind of burdensome secrets actually corrodes intimacy in quite destructive ways.
Yeah, look, absolutely. 1300 222 774. I will get to more of your, I guess, starker text messages, but there's a few here that are worth reading out as well. My husband is always honest. I will know in no uncertain terms if my butt looks fat. There you go. And there's nothing I can't tell him. This is from Karen. There's heaps I forget to tell him, like the truck coming to pick up the sheep at 5 a.m. Oops. That is from Karen. More of your calls and your texts. I'll read this one out. I told my husband of 18 years ago, who was my best friend, I told him 2 years ago I thought I was bisexual, frightened, and never going to act on it. Our marriage is ending now. I regret telling him, though I still maintain it was the right thing to do. None of this is easy. Kate's called from Greensboro. Kate, I think we spoke to you close to the beginning of the year. Is that right?
That is true, and I'm actually still with this wonderful man.
Fantastic.
Which is a good sign. I was married for 15 years, and so I was quite young, and I think we just got into patterns and expectations of each other, and so as I developed and changed, I found it hard to, I guess, admit it to myself as much to him about how I had changed as a person in many other ways. And I feel extremely free by the fact that this partner, who I met at a strip club, he knows everything about me. There is no secrets. He knows things I never told my husband, because I didn't feel comfortable about it. And I don't know if it has anything to do with how I met him.
Would you say that, Kate, the hallmark of a more sustainable relationship is one, though, in which you can be more truthful with each other?
I completely and utterly agree. And we've had our disagreements, certainly, but he knows everything. And he does a lot of online stuff. Emails come to his phone and, you know, very sort of active in social networking sites. And that wasn't my style, and so I felt a little undermined. I kept doing the, what are you doing now? Who are you texting now? And I just had it out with him, and I said, I don't like the fact that I ask, but I'd like you just to tell me what you're doing. So I had to sort of say what was important to me. And so, you know, he knows now that by just being open, he's like, oh, I'm just replying to a work email.
So is it about being honest about the small things first?
Absolutely, because then there's nothing to hide. He doesn't start something that he hasn't then told me about.
Yeah, look, thank you, Kate. Appreciate you calling in. Mark's called from Brunswick. Mark, I don't like to say this, but the news is approaching. So if you can you tell us your story and keep it to the essentials?
Yeah, look, certainly. Thanks, Raph. So I'm in a committed relationship, and for many years I concealed a pornography addiction from my wife, which I believe is a malady that is spreading like wildfire through the male community. And I just wanted to make the point that if men don't open up to their partners, to their friends about things that are causing them shame and grief in their lives, they can't get help. And there are places you can go for help for all different things, and the more we conceal stuff, the deeper the illness goes.
Yeah.
And we just, you know.
What prompted you to tell her?
Well, to be honest, Raf, my wife discovered some material on my computer, and I had to come clean, and I had to start to get help.
Okay.
And it has been the beginning of such a beautiful evolution for me into consciousness and awareness and self-belief like it's just leaps and bounds.
That's a pretty good note to end on, I think.
Fantastic, Mark. Look, thank you. Good luck with her.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that's a great call to end
Nothing's
on.
Nothing's too difficult to tell, and we can always get assistance.
Nothing's too difficult to tell. The big calls from Jane Fisher. She's the Jean Howes Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash University. Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Raph.
You can listen to these segments every week. Just go to the homepage.